A big welcome to Avi Steinloff. Thank you for joining us this morning. Gavi's father.
The big schuss.
To have parents here and to daven for schusavos and to everyone. Obviously, you all love your parents, and your parents all love you. But sometimes love doesn't always express itself in the proper way. So it's important erev Yom Tov to make sure that you speak with your parents and ask for mechila. And I'm sure you don't even have to ask because every parent loves their child, but sometimes things get in the way, so always make sure that you want to go into Yom Kippur having your slate as clean as possible, and that in particular. Big yashkoach for everyone for making it to the finish line. Okay, just look back at the last 4 or 5 weeks of what you've accomplished. Okay, you accomplished a lot up here. That's easy to see. You're able to take apart a Gemara in ways that you couldn't have imagined. But, what happens up here, that's already kiddie pool. What happens here is important. And it's starting to trickle down and to touch your will and your soul and your identity and your traits and your personality. So that's a good place that you want to go to, Mirtz Hashem, over the next 24 hours. And a lot of this we've spoken about. So I got this new way to track my wallet. So beeps all the time. Okay, I'm losing my wallet. Okay, so we want to go somewhere the next 24 hours. And I gave you hints and tips about how to go there, and we'll repeat them today. And I want to give you some new voices to think about. And remember, you have 24, 25 hours. Does anyone know that it's here? Can someone please text to the group? People may be looking for us. Some people may be late. And let's try to think about how we can introduce different voices into our mind. Let's start with something you haven't spoken about, which may be, for many of you, a whole different voice in Yom Kippur this year. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, Yom HaKippurim, the Rambam writes in Perek Beis, Yom HaKippurim Uzman Tshuva Lakol Liyachid V'Larabim. Now, if the Rambam merely intended that many people can do tshuva, there's not just one quota for tshuva. You think, oh, there's only one person Hashem has mechila for. The chiddush is, by the way, there are many, many tshuva tickets and tshuva coupons. That's obviously silly. I'm making it intentionally silly. So when the Rambam states Liyachid V'Larabim, he's not describing different quantities or different sets or different groups or different masses of people who are performing tshuva. He's describing different experiences. He's describing different textures. He's describing different voices in your head. And I imagine that for many of us, legitimately so, the voice in our head in Yom Kippur is very private, is very personal, and it has to. It has to start with privacy. It has to start with the quiet, quiet recesses of your inner soul where no one knows and no one goes to. And as you grow older, you'll start to have more self-awareness. Look, it's hard for you to get into that quiet space because you're first learning about yourself, right? At this age, your emotions are still swirling. And why do I feel this way? What am I feeling? And as you grow older, you learn more about yourself. You learn more about your psyche. You have a conversation with yourself. You know what you're feeling and why you're feeling, or you can make yourself feel certain things, not emotions, but at least contemplation and self-introspection when it's appropriate. So this is, I told you so often, look at this year as an investment. Whatever tshuva level you reach, know that you're laying a platform, and each year you build more and you build more. You know yourself better, you know your weaknesses better, you know the ways of tshuva better, you have more tshuva information in your head, right? Don't think that the improvement of your tshuva is another safer. Sometimes the improvement of tshuva is just looking inside yourself and thinking a little bit more. So again, don't always assume more is more. Sometimes more is less. But as another says, it's all just glancing off, reading in your head. Like, make it real. Like, it to yourself. How does this affect me? What does this have to do with my tshuva? So it has to start in a very private place, in the private vidui, in the private question. Again, when you're this age, it's hard to feel low and inadequate because you're starting off in your life as you grow older. And the gap between what you hope to accomplish and what you really accomplish. And when you look at yourself honestly in the mirror, you see your own flaws and you see your own weaknesses and you feel your own. So it's easier, in some odd way, it's easier to put yourself into a low place on Yom Kippur. We say, Rima v'tolas, and I'm just a worm, and I'm not worth anything. But you're starting. I think, hopefully, for many of you, at the very least, this month was a shot in the face in many ways, because you were all very successful in high school, and you all were valedictorians, and you were all very proud of what were basically ruling over meager kingdoms. You were all the kings of meager kingdoms, and now you realize that there were small little cantons, and you're not the king of anyone, and you never want to be the king of anyone, and it's been hopefully a revelatory experience for you. So just look back at that, not in a way that is psychologically unsettling, but just, you know, realize that, you know, and you'll be successful in life because you're confident boys and you're successful, Baruch Hashem, and talented boys. But let this turnaround over the last month be a good curb against runaway egotism and against unbridled self-aggrandizement and too much belief in yourself. You want to have that healthy balance between your confidence and your doubt and humility and intellectual humility, and also knowing that you can get things accomplished in this world because Hashem equipped you with the tools to get things accomplished. So you're starting in a private place, you're starting in a low place. But there's something more, and that's the Shuvas HaRabim. What does it mean? What does Shuvas HaRabim mean? So let me explain to you a strange sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, which seems very, very incongruent with much of what we believe about Judaism, but it's in its incongruity, there's a seed or a kernel of something different. That's what we've done all year, learning Lamdas. Where's the incongruous statement in Rashi? Where's the incongruous statement in the Gemara? That must reflect a new paradigm that we're not seeing. It's a paradigm popper, creates a new paradigm. Right? We don't believe in Yiddishkeit in vicarious atonement. Vicarious atonement is a myth. And once that myth is introduced into religion, the entire system collapses. It exonerates people from personal responsibility. It encourages a life of dissolute, immoral behavior, and there's some greater savior or greater being or greater confessional. You have responsibility for your actions. You take consequences for your decisions. The weight of your future and of your life is squarely upon your shoulders. And that's both the pride and benefit of having freedom of choice, and it's also the price. If you have freedom of choice, then you have freedom to make bad choices. And when you make bad choices, you have to own them. And when you make mistakes, you have to apologize for them. And there's an art of apology. Now, it's not for now, but you have to learn in life how to apologize, because there are people who just are very poor apologizers in life. And their relationships never really move forward because they don't know how to just admit and apologize and just take it and absorb that wrongness, that failure. Absorbing failure is part of being a successful person. No buts, no ands, no qualifiers, just a straight apology. So there's no such thing as vicarious atonement. You don't sin and then confess. You don't sin and place it on someone that lived a better life for you. There's chusavos that augments our tefillos, there's chusavos that is a form of a bris, but my personal sin is my personal sin. I have to bear the weight of its failures, and I have to try to recover and repair it. And there's no one else. Remember that story I told you last week about Ablazer ben Dordaya, who wanted to ask the mountains to do tshuva for him, and the sun and the moon to do tshuva for him, the oceans to tshuva, and what did he say? Ein adavar tali ela bi. So that's not the three-word phrase. But think about that phrase as you enter Yom Kippur. Ein hadavar talui ela bi. Okay, there are real, real consequences to your year this year. Real consequences. I told you last week about my brother-in-law who davens with my father-in-law, at least for Rosh Hashanah and his shul, with older people. And it's a sacrifice for him because he's a Rebbe in yeshiva. But he told me that in exchange of the sacrifice of missing davening in yeshiva, he feels that walking into a room with elderly people, and not all of whom show up the next year, from year to year, so you feel the gravitas in the room. You feel when they say, mi yechia mi amus. You feel when you say, Rosh Hashanah yikasevun, v'yom tzam kippur yachasevun, that people are saying it with real, honest dread, anticipation, concern. So Baruch Hashem, the Teva HaOlam is that most of the people in this room are not looking at that stage of life. One day, Be'ezus Hashem, you will, and your tefillos will have that tonality. But there are stakes and consequences for this year. Those stakes are who you want to be. This is your year. This is the year you're moving from the reader of the book to the protagonist of the book. Your whole life you've been reading about religion. Now you are in the book. It's your book. It's your biography and how well you succeed. Just look at the last month. Just everyone, Baruch Hashem, you've all been, in my opinion, spectacularly successful. But just take a second and say, not to get yourself into a state of remorse, but just to appreciate consequences, what mistake did you make this year in not showing up when you could have or not over the past month? Don't feel remorse. That will come later. Just to say, okay, I could have been a different person. Think about that going forward, not even in the grand scale of life. Who do you want to be Wednesday at 7:30? Tomorrow night at 7:30. I can guarantee you that if you invest the next 25 hours in the way that I recommend and the way that you've learned, and you take it seriously, and you retain your focus, and you exert emotionally, and you try to find a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you try to find that level of depth, I can guarantee you will be a dramatically different person tomorrow night. You will feel dramatically different. It won't just be the fast is over, let's get some food, let's plan the deal. I promise you, you can be a different. How long it will last is a different story. But these things, they linger. There are traces. Whenever something happens to you, it can disappear. Moods come and go. Spiritual highs come and go. But it leaves an imprint. So if at 7:30 tomorrow night you sincerely want to emerge differently, call it catharsis, call it purged, call it cleansed, call it uplifted, call it whatever transformational moment you're looking for, it will only happen if you decide to invest in it. And the investment starts now. But the Gemara has one sheet, the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the Sari Lazazel is Mechaper even if you don't do tshuva. Rambam doesn't pasuk like that. The Sari Lazazel is Mechaper L'shavim v'la'in l'shavim. Why is that possible? And he also says, and the Rambam actually pasuk like this part, says, as long as you didn't violate an Isser Kares. The answer, and this is based on Rabbi Soloveitchik, and if you're already reading the Alei Tshuva, keep reading it, because it's such a good platform. I keep calling it platform. It's like building a platform for life. You can put a show, run a show on a platform again and again. Okay, now this singer come up, now these dances come up. Every year you'll read new Tshuva, but you need a platform. Like, what's your DNA of Tshuva? How do you process when you read new ideas? You always need a template or a palette upon which new ideas are introduced. So that becomes your palette. Rabbi Soloveitchik said that when we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yom Kippur, we approach him in two ways. We approach him as Moshe, or as Eli, or as Eyal. We also approach him as his people that he loved, and that he took as his bride, and who betrayed him, and who tested his patience for hundreds of years. And finally, for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, let's say that patience ran out, because that phrase is unsuited to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but decided that we had to leave. And we left for 2,000 years. And it was a dark, dark journey through the sands of history and through tunnels of persecution, through dark spaces far removed from our homeland. And somehow he wants us back now. And you feel that he wants us back now. And part of that love and part of that covenant with us occurred on Yom Kippur. We said, I know that human weakness, I know human quality, human experience is frail. And I know, in addition to that, that I've always kept the path open for reform. Tshuva is something that's not Jewish. Everyone can perform tshuva. We'll read about it tomorrow by the people of Nineveh. But I want to give you a specific gift. I want to give you a special personal gift. It's one day a year where just be with me. One day a year in which daven with me, be with me. I'll be the first davener. Shem put the talus over his head. You know who's going to start davening tonight when you hear Kol Nidre? Ribbono Shalom is davening. Just as badly as you want your kapara, and just as badly as you want this relationship to be reformed, Ribbono Shalom wants it even more. And when you think about it, and this, if you get a chance to listen to the shir that I recommended, the Rav Amital shir, this is a short summary of that shir. Let me tell you the shir and then tell you a story that just happened last night, just to show you how careful you have to be about how you set your mind. For years, I grew up being offended by the notion that Ne'ilah is Hashem closing the gates, because it was just so dissonant with how I saw Hashem over Yom Kippur. He's Rachamim, he wants me, he's kind, he's compassionate. Then all of a sudden, at 5 o'clock, Hashem turns into a harsh gatekeeper. Get your tefillahs in before the doors close, get into the stadium before they're not. It was just so discrepant with how I built a relationship with Hashem over 23 hours. And Rav Amital taught us, and we talk about this every year, that Ne'ilah is not about the gates of Shemayim. I'm not going to go through the Medrash now, but he teased it out of Midrashim. It's not about the gates of Shemayim closing. They remain open forever. The drama of Ne'ilah and the drama of Yom Kippur is not up there. The drama of Ne'ilah and the drama of Yom Kippur is what's happening at the one gate through which Hashem can't pass. Hashem can pass through any gate in this world. There's only one door Hashem can't open, because he gave you the key, and that's your heart. And he can't walk into your heart if you won't let him in. But he desperately wants to be there. And Yom Kippur is a relentless, desperate attempt at open and let Hashem in. And he's banging on the door. Like in Shir HaShirim, the man's banging on the door. I want to get in. And he knows that last chance to keep those gates open. not to hold the gates in Shemayim open to get your tefillos there. It's to try to finally pry open that gate, which has become dry and ossified and fossilized and covered with conceit and covered with delusion and covered with corruption, and just try to open that gate and say, HaKadosh Baruch, I just want you in my heart. So last night, I put on Facebook, I said, I rarely plug a share, I just put them up on Facebook and Twitter. So this is the only share year I plug, it's my Rebbe share, my summary of the share. A couple of minutes later, I get some guy I've never met, says Rabbi Tarrigan, really angry at me. I was ruined, my Judaism, when I was 50 years ago, when I was a kid, because the rabbis always told me about the gates being closed and the gates being closed. And literally, I said, how could you talk about that in your share? I said, I stopped listening the second you mentioned it. I said, listen to the end. That's what I don't agree with. I wrote it back. He said, I can't. It's just so offensive to me. So I said, I'll tell you what. I'll summarize it for you in 50 seconds. So I sent him a little recording. I summarized what I meant. I said, thank you so much. You made my Yom Kippur. You have a beautiful Shana Tova. Amen. You're trying to let HaKadosh Baruch Hu in. So there is a moment or a voice in Yom Kippur. We look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't just look at me. Don't just enter my heart. I'm part of this people. And you love us. And you gave us this gift after we foolishly betrayed you. Weeks after saying Nasa v'nishma, Eila lecha Yisrael. Somehow, I can't explain why, you just love us. And that's what the Sarah Lazazel is. The Sarah Lazazel is, Hashem, look at me, not as a person, but look at me as a Jew. And in the Beis HaMikdash, that was very powerful. Because Beis HaMikdash, you weren't saying vidui all day. You probably said some vidois, but not all day. And you weren't hiding in your talis as we do, and you should hide in your talis because hiding is part of tshuva, or hiding in your machzor, because when if you feel shame at your failures, you don't really want people to look at you. So hiding isn't bad on Yom Kippur. That's why we have the quickest shir in history of Poshachris today, right? We want to hide in Yom Kippur, not stand out in Yom Kippur. So that's why the shir today was about why we're not having shir while everyone's cleaning up the Beis HaMikdash. And in the Beis HaMikdash, you came and you stood with millions of Jews in the Azara, watching the Kohen Gadol, looking at that red string, bowing down. Could you imagine the potency and the power of standing in the Zara, that 72-letter name, Bekedusha, Vetahara, Hayukorim, Umishtachavim, Umodim, Vinoflim, Alpanim, Viomrim, screaming, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso, Le'olam Vod. Again, it's harder for us because in our minds, those images are more associated with Muslims. And again, Muslim is a pretty close form of monotheism. So seeing people bow down to a God that they can't see, if you just eliminate all the corrupting elements in Islam. But it's hard because we're in a political struggle with Islam, and of course, those are the logical. So it's hard when we talk about bowing down, but just take yourself back to this perfect. One day, monotheism will be perfected. One day, monotheism, and everyone will bow down, and everyone will say, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Le'olam Vod. So it's much more collective. I'm a Jew, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm part of your people. Please take me as part of your people. Don't judge me as Moshe. Judge me as a proud, committed, loving Jew. And that's why the Sarah Lazazel is mechaper. And that's why the Rav said it's not mechaper for Isser Kares. Because in Isser Kares, it's not just that it's more severe. But what's the concept of Kares? V'nechos me'amav. There's certain sins, what? Certain sins where somehow you're loosely affiliated with your people. And I can't say you're no longer, but you're cut off from that deep affiliation. Saying you're not part of the collective. You're not part of the collective. That route isn't available for you. So that's a new voice for many of you. It's harder to feel that voice when you're davening in Teaneck or davening in Los Angeles or davening in, it's harder to feel that voice. But here you are. Just remember where you were 48 hours ago. You're standing in ground zero of where Jewish history was enshrined and entombed. At some point today, pass by the Beis Medrash, you know that little corner with that gold memorial? You don't know it already. Take a minute there. 49 years ago, boys left this Beis Medrash. Not this one, the building wasn't born yet, it was in Kfar Etzion, wasn't built yet. They left this Beis Medrash literally as Yom Kippur was ending, saying goodbye to Rav Aaron and Rav Amital on their way to the jeeps that had come to collect them. I'm not saying going to war. They were going to die. and they knew it. Because the Egyptians and the Syrians surprised us, and that first wave of soldiers were basically human shields, allowing the reservists time to reorganize in the back and launch a counteroffensive. And they say goodbye to Rav Lichtenstein, who was there handing them rolls of toilet paper because they were tank units, and they didn't realize in a tank you can't get out in the middle of the tank battle. You have to learn how to deal with your biological needs in the tank. So it was very rough. So Rav Aaron's handing out, can you imagine Rav Aaron and Yom Kippur handing out rolls of toilet paper to each boy? A lot of the boys left this yeshiva 49 years ago. And 8 of them never came back. And many who came back were never the same. I can promise you one thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is thinking about that. And you're part of that legacy. Because that's why this yeshiva is so successful, because it's built on Dam Kedoshim. And that's the Siyata Dishmaya. And the notion that our enemies could take Yom Kippur and use it against us, Jesus Yom Kippur as a leverage to attack the Jewish people, it's simply inconceivable. It's such folly to believe that the Kedushas Yom Kippur could be a weapon, could be weaponized. This is our day. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, Salachti Kidvarecha, I love you, you're my people. So think about where you are. Think about where you are in the trail of this yeshiva. Think about where you are geographically. And most importantly, think about where you are on the timeline of history. 80 years ago, Rav Amital davened in cellars at the end of the Holocaust, and he told us that when they used to say, V'chein tein kavar Hashem li'amecha, tila l'ri'echa, tikva tova l'dorshecha, the people in that blown-out cellar in Budapest, I think it was in the Budapest ghetto, some dark little, they didn't even have machzorim, they just davened for whatever they can remember, bal peh. People in the tzibur started laughing out of sadness. Tein kavod Hashem li'amecha, tehila l'ri'echa, tikva tova l'dorshecha. We're being shot like dogs. We're being rounded up like cattle. We're being gassed like subhumans. History moves quickly, especially towards the end. It's like a marathon, the last kilometer you sprint. It has been the last kilometer of history. I don't know how long it will take. But now we're starting to sprint. Things are moving very, very quickly. So try to find that voice. Try to find it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to start to daven differently. How do you find that voice? Well, part of it is believing in the indestructibility of the Jewish people. That as low as we sink, and as far as we wander, we are baked into history as a metaphysical reality. The survival of the Jewish people is one of the great signs of a God in heaven. Because there's absolutely no algorithm or no reason or logic that should justify how we've survived. So it's the anthropology proves theology. The fact that we've survived, and we don't just survive, but now we're reassuming our world position as best we can. It's going to take several generations maybe, but we're trying to reassert ourselves, not in an aggressive way, but through our homeland and try to be a beacon as best as we can for morality, to be a beacon as best as we can for social consciousness, to be a beacon as best as we can for democracy, to be a beacon as best as we can for spirituality. And one day, hopefully, all this will morph into religion. Progress isn't always religious. It's religion being masked as human progress. Okay, hopefully one day everyone will be religious. But right now, even small increments in our people, the fact that we're a high-tech leader, the fact that we're a country that protects the rights, and to a degree, the fact that we protect the rights of minorities, and the fact that even though we are a Jewish state, and even though we protect the rights in ways that of people that are LGBTQ and in other countries they don't, especially in the Middle East, where they don't receive the treatment and the understanding and the dignity and the respect that they deserve. So even though, and a lot of these messages are very, very, very mixed, obviously, but at baseline level, to be mechabed everyone who is a tzelem elokim, and to make space for everyone who is a tzelem elokim, even if you feel whatever you feel, which is not the topic of the current conversation, that's also as hard as it is, but to be mechabed people like that, it's a hard word to say because it's so ripe, and I don't want to get involved in every kippur. But the fact that we're mechabed every human being and all their dignity in a land that's so difficult in security, that's a kiddush Hashem. That no human being is called anything chas v'shalom, subhuman or sub-race, chalila b'chas. Because once you dehumanize people, you can justify a lot. You can justify a lot of malicious and criminal behavior once you dehumanize people. Just ask the great tyrants of the 20th century, who took their social Darwinism to create dehumanized profiles of people who were objectified into non-humans. And it's easy to kill them. It's easy to massacre them. So that's how you thank you. The instructive, the Rav used to say, the last bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei and Yom Kippur. Melech mochel b'solech lavona. Say, no, Hashem, please forgive our sins. Mochel lavona samo b'Yis Yisrael. And then give us kaparas tzibur. Mochel lavona say, mochel lavona samo Yisrael. So there's the symmetry. Yachid and Tzibor. And you take away our Ashma every year. Listen to my next words. Look at my hands. There are no next words. So you're not hearing me say anything. Symmetry? Asymmetry. Forgive our sins. Avonos Amo Beis Yisrael. Take away our ashma. Don't destroy us. The Rav said, that second clause doesn't exist. Hashem doesn't destroy Am Yisrael. I may deserve ashma. Ashma means I deserve to die. So Hashem, please don't let me die. We don't even have to say, Umavra Ashmos Beis Yisrael, because that is a logical impossibility. It doesn't exist. Hashem chose us as His people. Hashem put us into this planet to illuminate humanity, to educate them, to inspire. It can't be. That is a rock-solid, inalienable truth of our universe. The Jewish people are Hashem's chosen to lead, to inspire, to model. So Hashem, forgive my sins, forgive the sins of Am Yisrael. Hashem, take away my ashma, whatever I deserve. And then the bracha ends. It ends in a truncated fashion. And sometimes when you don't say something, and when the flow is abbreviated or truncated, it speaks volumes. This is a pregnant silence because there is no Ashma. So when you get to that part, stop and say, oh, Hashem, I understand now. I understand what it is to be a Jew. I understand that I'm part of something larger. I understand that this is my mission. And my role right now is to study your Torah as furiously as I can because our people desperately, desperately need wise, intelligent, worldly, kind, well-rounded Talmidei Chachamim. We desperately, desperately need that. We need people who can articulate the beauties and the mysteries of Chazal in ways that our world can appreciate them rather than scoff at them and rather than, God forbid, vilify them. You're so valuable and you're so necessary and your future is so important to our people. How many Jews won't understand everything you'll understand on Yom Kippur? How many Jews aren't in Shul Yom Kippur? How many Jews aren't in Shul Yom Kippur, but they're there, but in body only, or even in their minds? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuva Perek Zayin, in Parshas Nisavim we read, V'atzar lecha mitzucha kol advar meilu, when all these terrible things happen, v'shavtad Hashem elokecha. So the Ramban says, v'shavtad, Asam Yisharim, v'shavtad means there's a mitzvah. The Rambam, remember we talked about this early on, there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. So how does the Rambam interpret v'shavtad Hashem elokecha? It's not a mitzvah. It's a promise. V'kvar tzivu neviim, Rambam writes, k'var v'ticha tara perak zayin sh'sof Yisrael la'sos tshuva b'sof galusan u'miyad he'nigalim. Hashem is telling us, look around, how many Jews today are classically observant, they're classically dati, in the way they were in 1700? I don't know, anyone want to throw out a figure? Not more than 20%, maybe 25, yeah. I don't know, probably far less. I don't know my statistics. So how do you view Jews who aren't observant as afterthoughts, outcasts, who cares about them? We need them for the army. What do you say? I know. I know one day, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes something in his Torah, it supersedes logic. It supersedes prognostication. It supersedes my own predictions. Or to predict whether every Jew will do tshuva based on the facts, based on crunching the numbers? Of course not. That's not, doesn't seem to be. But how can you reroute your imagination based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the narrative Hashem writes, not the narrative you read? That's called Ahavas Yisrael. I believe in these people. I believe in their hearts. And I believe that one day they will stand next to me and herald Mashiach. And if they can't daven, then I'm going to daven for them. That's a voice I would like to see blossom this year. And once you have that voice, your tefillahs are totally different.
And wherever you'll daven, your whole life will say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm davening, I'm coming with my paltry record, my flawed achievement, my low self-esteem, I don't know what I deserve, please give me mercy. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also look at me. I'm a Jew, living in a great generation, that's going to turn the tides of history. Please help me do it. The Rav used to say that when you say Vidoy as a Yachid, you wait till after Shemon Esrei, say it quietly, under your machzor, under your talis, it's hushed. Then what's the tune for collective Vidoy? It's a 13th century German marching tune. Do you know what you're saying?
We have killed and we have raped and we have stolen and we are terrible. We are despicable. We deserve to die. Where's that confidence coming out? To be mournful and baleful and sad. The Rav said no, because there is a tone of demand when you come with a group of Am Yisrael, because Hashem already baked in kapara. So Hashem, I am demanding kapara from you. As Moshe, I even know, L'chashem etzak of l'na boshes haparim, don't look at me, I don't want you to look at me. Malei chayt, malei avon, kshi oref, charon af, malei kas, I don't want to. But I'm just living here. I'm trying so hard. I love Jews so much. I care for them so much. And you promised us kapara. Let that voice grow, if it hasn't already. Let that become another voice of Yom Kippur. Let's end with Rabbi Akiva. I quote Rabbi Akiva a lot. I want to use Rabbi Akiva as a segue into reminding you of the tips and giving you a little gift for Yom Kippur. Rabbi Akiva's famous metaphor accomplished two things. The Mishnah and Pevav. Number one is he rebuilt broken spirits. I imagine in my mind's eye, I have no historical documentation for this, that Rabbi Akiva said the following Mishnah 2 months after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It makes sense. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed Tisha B'Av. Everyone wakes up for Yom Kippur. What do we do? Literally, what do we do? It's like walking into yeshiva and the place is empty. Because in their minds, Yom Kippur is a Kohen Gadol and Kitaris and an Aron, or at least the Evan HaShasiyah, and Seirim, and now there's nothing. So you may as well shut down Yom Kippur. There's why have Yom Kippur? Could you imagine, I don't know if like everyone, if there's the base matters was burnt, we shut down Yom Kippur. Like, there's no place to go. No Sidurim, no Machzurim, no Chazan, no Viduyim, no one's around. You just sit in a corner and think. And Rabbi Akiva said, it was never about rituals. It was never about ceremonies. They were just kickstarters. They were just catalysts. It was always about Kiva Yom Hazeh Yechapar Aleichem Metar Eschem Lifnei Hashem. It was always about being in the presence of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's always available to you, whether you have a Beis HaMikdash in a Kohen Gadol or you don't. And then he said further, he says, let me describe the fact that it's not just you trying to be Omed Lifnei Hashem and Bitohar. I'm going to add a pasuk from Yechezkel, because that's a pasuk from Acharemos. But let me add a pasuk in Yechezkel, Rabbi Akiva said. You know what? It's not just about Lifnei Hashem. Hashem will help you, because he's the one throwing the water. He's the one sprinkling. Guys, bring Hashem into Yom Kippur. He's not just in Shemayim waiting for you. That's in Rosh Hashanah. He's in Malach Malachayim Lachim. On Yom Kippur, he's davening with you. On Yom Kippur, he's trying to get into your heart. On Yom Kippur, he wants this marriage to be resuscitated. On Yom Kippur, he wants the rachamim, l'man tivarei. He's the one sprinkling water on you. And then Rabbi Akiva said, you know what? The pasuk, Zachary, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you need a minute, you can take a minute outside. You know, okay? Just be careful, okay? The third pasuk he said is a bigger chiddush. Not just it's about being in front of Hashem. And not just that Hashem will help you, but you would think, and I told you this last week, that to get to that stage that Hashem will be pouring water on you, or that you'll be with Hashem, here's the trail. Improve yourself. Introspection. Moral development. Purging your sins. Remorse. Pain. Sadness. Sorrow. You go through that whole trail, then you're a more clean person, then you can be lifnei Hashem. Because how else you can be lifnei Hashem? You can't be lifnei Hashem with all your filth and dirt and flaws. You can't do that. So I would think the lifnei Hashem is my goal. The goal is to be lifnei Hashem. Hashem is helping me be lifnei Hashem, so I've got to become tahor. How do I become tahor? I go through a process of Yom Kippur, and Hashem is helping me. Then maybe by 4:30 tomorrow, I'm in a state of purity that I can now be lifnei Hashem. I've said 5 vidois. Now I can stand in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He says, no. Hashem isn't just the target. Hashem isn't just the assistant. Hashem is the mikveh. Hashem is the mikveh. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Moshiach Ve'eis Sari quotes Yirmiyah. Just so you should know what the pasuk is. Mikveh there means hope, but Rabbi Akiva reinterprets it to be mikveh. Hashem is your mikveh. I don't have to do anything. You know what I have to do tomorrow? Tonight? One thing. Just be lifnei Hashem. Just jump into the mikveh. Just be immersed in Hashem. With all of my filth, and all of my defects, and all of my dishonesty, and all of my pettiness, and all of my ugliness, and all of my scars, and all of my broken relationships, and all of my broken promises, just put it on your back, take it all with you, and just go to the mikveh. And I promise you, you'll come out different, Hashem says. So please, please, take the following words out of your mind. Don't ever, ever dare call this a Day of Atonement. That's shrinking it. It's atonement, but there's so much more. Don't ever, ever call it a fast day. Because then you become preoccupied with the fast, which, as I've told you, should be the smallest part of your day, not the big, big challenge of the day. Call it the day. The day to be with Hashem. That's not our phrase yet. If you want to call it Yom HaGadol V'Anara, call the day of the mikvah. Call the day of Lifnei Hashem. Call the day of eternity, where you get to taste what your future will be like when you leave this world. And you don't have to worry about food. And you don't have to worry about drink. You don't have to worry about fatigue. You don't have to worry about sleep. And all you have is a spirit that's locked with Hashem. Could you imagine if someone told you, I'm giving you one day to live Olam Haba? I would sign up right now. The good thing is, it's happening. Because that's what your Olam Haba is. You're just not able to fully appreciate it yet, because we're still in a world that blocks us and obstacles us. But that's what it is. The next 25 hours are the closest you're going to get to heaven. Heaven is not feasts and women and money and 72 virgins and endless cars and finally the Mets win. Nothing of that in heaven. Nothing of that. It's all just Chachamim Yoshvim, not just Ember Hashem, Ninim Bezim Hashem. So try to elevate the day beyond just, these are all important. Don't skip atonement, God forbid. Remember Rosh Hashanah, I told you, raise your imagination and go to Hashem's Malchus and Universalism. Yom Kippur, listen to what I'm saying now, because these are important, important guidelines. You have to start low. Don't start high on Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah, you can start high. You hear, oh, yeah. Malchus Hashem. I'm in a different place. I'm not on this earth. Hashem is the Melech Malchayim Lachim. The Malachim have Rosh Hashanah, and I'm there. Yom Kippur, you have to start Mimamaki. You have to start low. It's not a day of Malchus immediately. Start low. Start quiet. Start honest. Start in the darkest and deepest part of you that you feel you can get to. Start there. It has to be inside out, if you want, as opposed to outside in. It has to be inside out. Because if you skip the inside part, remember I warned you not to convert Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur? I'm giving you the inverse warning now. Don't convert Yom Kippur into Rosh Hashanah. There's a lot of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but don't let it become Rosh Hashanah. Start inside. Let me put the, not for me, but in the future you don't leave here. Okay? Right? You're sitting at a table, you don't leave your own table. Okay? So start down low. Start Mimamakim. But see how much you can immerse yourself. I'm just going to review the three tips, because there's nothing new here, but sometimes you just want to review them. These are the three ways you will give yourself the best chance for immersion. Number one, and I'll give you a page in a moment, don't distract yourself. Try to spend 25 hours with you, your thoughts, your heart, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one else. Don't be rude to people. It's a day of, if you want Hashem to be kind to you and have chesed to you, you're kind. If you see someone, we'll see tonight after the evening, we go around wishing everyone a Gemara Tov. If you see someone, go over here, something, give a hug or not, but it should all be, learn that tone. This is a tone in life. Don't think that life is binary, happy or sad. There are many, many other frames of mind in life, and one of them is proud, solemn, gravitas, large moment. There's that place. You're not happy, you're not sad. You're not mournful, you're not celebrating. You're just in a place of strength. And that strength comes from something larger than yourself that you happen to tap into. Now you feel like when you're at the kotel, you see, you feel you're not happy, you're not sad, you feel healthy pride, healthy. Try to find yourself in that space, somewhere in that area on Yom Kippur. Love, you're proud that you're able to be honest with yourself, and you're proud that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes your broken version of you and accepts that. So when you leave shul, don't chit-chat. Talk. If you need to see someone, how is your davening? If you want to, learn. There's a shiur tonight. Moshe will give a shiur. Go to sleep, which is my strong recommendation because it's very, very tiring tomorrow. But don't the chit-chat. And tomorrow, whatever break there is. And to help you with that, let me give you a letter that Rav Lichtenstein would post all over the yeshiva when Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, so here, please take the letter, pass it out. And I strongly encourage you to take this letter, fold it, put it in your machzor, and take it out next year if you're not in yeshiva, or in 2 years, or in 3 years, whenever. Because if you're looking for ways to get into the yeshiva Yom Kippur space, this is a pretty good way. Okay? I post it every year on social media. I have a whole packet, so you can get it there also. But let's just read it together, because the handwriting is hard, and also the Hebrew. So I'll just translate it to you loosely, but I want to give you a sense of what Rav Aaron saw as Yom Kippur. How did he feel Yom Kippur? And keep in mind just a little bit of historical context. Not that it's not so much of a difference, but in those days in particular, it was more of a social, potential social element in yeshiva, because Migdalos didn't have davening, I think, and girls would come, and girls would come from other yeshivas. And I remember talking to one of our firm boys who said, why do we have girls coming to yeshiva? I said, what, you don't want them to have a davening? Like, you know, you want to try to, you know, we didn't have, there were people, guests, there were guests in people's families. So Baruch Hashem, I don't think, today it's basically just the boys in yeshiva, kolo wives, and people coming, there may be some guests around. But it's not a boy-girl issue, so don't turn it into that. I'm just giving you a little bit of context, what Rav Lichtenstein was describing. So Erev Mala Yom HaKippur, this is Sfardis data from Tafshin Samach Av, so it's 22 years ago. But it was the same one every year, we just erased the ending. L'chvot Tamidei HaYeshiva V'Orcheha. Likras bo yom Hashem agadol v'hanaro. That's the phrase that here we call Yom Kippur. Hinenu bazed lehair, to raise attention, v'la orer mechadash, and stress ala zchut v'hachuvah, the privilege and the duty, liyaid, to designate, ad kama sheyad kulano magas, as much as you can, each person in their own capacity, et hayom kulo, the entire day, l'avodat Hashem tzufa, pure avodas Hashem. There's a lot of things. We stretch our avodas Hashem through a lot of things. But then there has to be what's pure avodas Hashem, what's like a lot of people who stretch religion, they can't make that distinction between what I would call kodesh and chol. Okay? Kodesh is learning a piece of Gemara. When I read books, I feel like it's part of my avodas Hashem, but it's the chol part of my avodas Hashem. Okay? And I don't make a birchas hatar on it. I probably won't do it in the base medrash. So there has to be capacity to distinguish, even amongst experiences which you feel are all important, as we stretch. People that don't stretch have an easier time. There's only one place and one space that's thrown everything else as a side thought. But if you're a stretcher, you have to know what's Avodas Hashem Tzufa, the times you're standing in front of Hashem, davening, learning in mitzvot, and what's other things that are super important, and that very often justify not learning Torah or not davening. Yesh letzamtzem, kechol afshar, you should try to limit, b'sichas chulin, idle talk, uli manami mifkashem meriut, and to avoid socializing, shamnam, bismanam, uvim komam, in the right time and place, tovim, b'ksherim, kshelatzma, there's nothing wrong with that. Ach, asher, lo zeh moed, for lo zeh atar, this isn't the time, this isn't the place, lasok behem, alach at kama v'kama sheish lihimanak kalil, to avoid entirely, mikol sicha sheish ba nidnon shokalas rosh, okay, nidnon shokalas rosh is another way of saying flirting.
When you flirt with girls, you get a little bit lighter, you know, you want to impress them a little more, you care a little more about what they think about you. Like, it doesn't have to be kalsos. It could also be sarcasm, it could also be making fun. Just whatever you feel is not you. Remember, when you're not acting you, you're sincere you, talk to me, be kind to me, be honest. Whenever you're off that, because you want to be cynical, you want to gain a little edge, because you want the girl to like you better, whenever you're like, Your head is lightheaded because something is slipping in and your balance and your judgment is ruined. Okay? The first part is his, second part is Tova. Tova, his wife, would stand downstairs and she would be the policewoman. She would literally take people and say, go to your rooms! In a Boston accent. She'd be screaming at people like you. And she couldn't take. I mean, she's an older person, so I don't think she does it. But if you dare to talk in the yeshiva lobby and Yom Kippur, Hinu chozim ha-bakashav ha-zot kifa shalai yefchu chalila sofei ha-tfilos ha-sakotahem, the end of davening and their breaks, l'mo'adei mifkashim chavratiyim klilim, to light-headed conversation b'tchum ha-yeshiva, b'yitzimo sh'yom ha-kippurim, b'tzipiyah d'ruchah l'mechila s'licha v'chapara, tense expectation for mechila s'licha v'chapara, b'toch kol kal adas Yisrael. Rav Amital put his name, but you can tell who wrote the letter. Aaron Lichtenstein. Now, I want to say something very, very clear. It should be absolutely no confusion. None of this should ever, ever, ever come at the cost of Kavod HaBrios. If you are in a moment in which you are in a zone, you want to be somber, you want to be, and then someone says hello to you, or someone, you know, needs your help, or whatever. Or, as Avi can testify, right, one day you'll have a family, and you want to be in a certain zone, but they may not be, and they're children, and they're whatever, and so you want to calibrate, right, you want to, and then sometimes you don't have the ability to go to your own zone when you're alone, and then when with your children or neighbors or something. So not everyone in the world is going to take this letter and lock their minds into it. And you're going to live with people in that world. So if you're ever at a crossroads where you're trying on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur to get a frame of mind, and other people are not, these are frame of minds that can help you. Kavod HaBrios is an aver. Kavod HaBrios, especially on these 2 days, we're trying to battle Sin HaSinam, we're trying to be part of Am Yisrael. This is not the time to make grimaces and faces at people who may not have it, or scream at people. Why Tova Lichtenstein? She's the Rebbe. She's the Rav's daughter. So when you become the Rav's daughter, you can, you know, scream at people who are talking in the hallways. But until then, you know, you can kindly ask if your roommate is jabbering about the Yankees or something. Say, yeah, I prefer we not talk about it because it's, you know, it's Yom Kippur or something. But it should never be in a strong-armed and an ugly fashion. So that's one thing. Don't distract yourself. Number two, as I told you, try if you can. Some guys told me they tried it during this week. Take your watches off. Just take your watch off tonight. Come in and try to lose yourself. Okay, I'll tell you, so ahead of time, it's going to end around 9:30-ish. So it's about 3.5-4 hours of, okay, a little bit later because we're starting a little bit later, 9:30, 9:45. But the timing is going to, it's going to segment your experience because you'll be looking at your watch and how much time and how much time did I have and when is it going to end? It's going to end, and when you know it's going to end, you're not really fully into it at some subconscious level, and you're going to spend your time calculating how much time is left for the fast. Just, especially tomorrow, just take it off. No one's going anywhere, literally. You're not going to miss anything, literally. Just put it in your pocket. I promise you, I can't, no one has ever told me this has failed. No one has ever come back to me and said, I tried it and it didn't work. It works. Because you, just like you're walking away from food and drink, and you're not thinking about it, and you're freeing resources in you to think about more important matters, when you take yourself out of time constraints, and you just lose yourself in time, right? When's the last time you lost yourself in time because you were enjoying the movie, right? And then when you know the movie's going to end in 10 minutes, you're not enjoying it as much anymore because, you know, it's about to end. So just take that entire issue off. I promise you it'll be liberating, and it will expand your consciousness of Yom Kippur. And the third part, which is the harshest part, is try not to think about Thursday. Thursday is a psychological retreat from Wednesday because the heat is too much and because you're facing a lot, and we're facing a lot. And it's easiest for us to tell ourselves, you know what, Thursday I have a lunch appointment, Thursday I'm going to build the sukkah, Thursday. Now we have to prepare for Thursday because that's how we live. We're put in this earth. But if you really, really strip it down, and you're really, really honest, and I told you this, honest, real honesty. I hope you can't disagree with this. I don't think anyone can disagree with this. When you can't disagree with something, I think it's honest. We are really praying for the world to end tomorrow night, as we know, and for Mashiach to come. And if we don't have that in our minds, then there's a little bit of fraudulence in us.
Because if all of our tefillos were to materialize, and then you scale that to all the tefillos of Am Yisrael, and everything we want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be granted, and then when we blow the shofar tomorrow or whatever, 6:45, it's going to be the shofar gadol, not the shofar katan. And you will save yourself a flight, because everyone's going to have to come in. So there should be two parts of you in Yom Kippur. The part of you that knows that it, based on our experiences, we don't know that's going to happen, therefore we have to keep planning, right? I have plans for Thursday, I have to take my kids, like, I know what I'm doing Thursday, don't worry, it's not like I'm an idiot. But I'm going to say, you know what, for one day I'm going to ignore that, because maybe, this other plan that I really, really want will happen, and I'll just allow myself to stick to that plan. And then, if it doesn't happen, then I'll shift. I'm adroit enough, I'm nimble enough, I'll pivot Wednesday night to buying a little vessel from the Macher and building my sukkah and, you know, saying hello to my friends in Chutz Lars who are not coming on planes. And I'm not interested right now in Mashiach. I am. I'm interested in cleansing your head and your heart on Wednesday from Thursday. Because if you think too much about Thursday, when I say Thursday, I mean Thursday, Friday, Shabbat. Anything in the future is your a psychological tool to run away from the passion and the intensity of Yom Kippur. And you don't want to do that. And you have to fight yourself. Don't be angry with yourself. You will find your mind thinking about Thursday. It's a natural response. Don't get angry. Rabbi Tarek, you told me I should think about Wednesday. I'm just trying to give you a click out of it. Just click out of it. Just trying to give you when it happens, don't follow me. It's going to happen. It happens to me. Don't be upset at yourself. But when it happens, say, you know, back into it. What do I want? What do I doubt about? Maybe Thursday. Just even that seed of doubt that maybe Thursday won't happen is enough to not let you indulge and get lost in Thursday. I just don't want you to spend 30 minutes thinking about Thursday. You can find 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It's natural. I promise you, I do it also. I don't think I'm such a saintly person. But I snap myself out of it. I have this like retrieval mechanism. No. Pull yourself back. Come back to Wednesday. Be in the moment. Don't think about things that you, in your mind right now, don't really want to happen, but they'll probably happen. But those are the three tips that will help you. Don't distract yourself. Take your watch off if you can. Look, there are some moments I couldn't take my watch off because I was in charge of the children. I keep telling you, this is the time you have nothing in your life that's holding you back. No family, no children, no responsibilities, no sick, no pregnant wives. No, this is the time you're just you. This is you can really walk up. So here it is, and with this I'll end. Zach's been waiting patiently. He's been bleeding over it. Okay. Talk about commitment. The three-word phrase for the next 25 hours. Okay, I thought about it carefully. It's going to sound a little bit like Rosh Hashanah, but it's very different. Remember, in our rule book of three-word phrases, prepositions don't count. Okay? So we have three words plus a preposition. For the next 25 hours, climb up the mountain. The mountain is that mountain in which Hashem met Moshe and said, Salachti, and gave him the Yud Gimel Midos. And it was just Hashem with 13 Midos HaRachamim, Ezebala Rachamim, Kel Melech Yoshev Akisei Rachamim, a kind, warm, gentle, loving, compassionate, accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Go to that place. But listen to the first part of it. Climb the mountain. Start at the bottom. Don't go to the mountain. Don't helicopter into the mountain. Climb it. And climate means you start low and you go high. And try as best you can to calibrate yourself tomorrow with the lows and the highs. If you're only low and only in yourself, then you're missing Am Yisrael, you're missing Geula, you're missing the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's just about you and 10 steps to self-improvement. If you only go high, then you're missing all the moral recovery and the moral catharsis and transformation of looking at yourself as deeply and darkly and honestly as you can. Highs and lows. I don't mean highs and lows like good parts and bad parts. High moments, high and low. Dark, deep, internal, Kadosh Baruch Hu on the mountain. Keep climbing the mountain, then go back down the mountain. Okay, you get another vidra. Remember, this is a double three-word phrase. It's a repeating three-word phrase. Climb the mountain and climb it again. Well, if you're climbing it again, it's because you're going down. Because you have to go up and down, and ascend and descend. You go up the mountain and go back down the mountain. Go up the mountain and go back down the mountain. You have another vidra. So now you're vidra, not in the mountain, presumably. In the vidra, you're now You know, what did I do? How did I do? What about me? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Chamol al Masecha, Atay Yader Razei Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you pray. Then you're back up the mountain. So just, it's you, a mountain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a great time to be a Jew. I hope that this is the first part of your future in which Yom Kippur is the best day of your life. It's not going to happen immediately, but I can promise you it's going to start to happen. Come to me tomorrow night, please, if you can. I don't need you to say anything. I just want to see it in your eyes. Because it will be there. I know how to look for it. I can see it in your smile. I can see it in your handshake. I can feel it in your handshake. Not a thank you because I didn't do anything, but oh my goodness, this is a gift. I'm not living in fear. I'm not dreading. I'm not worried. I'm psyched. Thank you for giving this to me. Thank you, Shiva, for giving. Thanks for that. That's all I want. Everyone should have a Gemara Chasima Tova. Everyone should have all their tefillos, Ezras Hashem, come true. Don't forget to dream. If you don't dream, you'll never accomplish. Make sure you keep your eyes on the abilities Hashem gave you and the needs of our people, which, interestingly enough, happen to line up pretty nicely because we have a lot of needs and you guys have a lot of abilities. Find some way in which you can make a difference. Ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you make a difference. You have a great ability to daven with the P word that as you grow older, it's harder. It's called potential. You have so much potential awaiting you in your life. So much potential awaiting you in your life. So much potential awaiting you in your life. So say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I really hope to fulfill that potential. Think about people in your family. I don't know all your families, obviously. But try to make it personal who are not davening in Yom Kippur, or who's davening or not, maybe Orthodox, or maybe you're not observant, or whatever. Daven for them. Think about your avos and imos. Find that of and ima that you feel, or maybe your parents, because you just feel that your parents are such great zechuyos that you're proud to be their son. And daven, not just by cloaking yourself with your own deservedness, but by cloaking yourself with your belongingness, not just to a people, but to a family. And let your mind cover as many voices as you can. Most importantly, don't get frustrated. The price of honesty is imperfection. I'd rather be honest and imperfect than false and fake perfect. And if you find that you don't reach everything you want, you know what Hashem says? That's good for me, because it's honest. So if you find a dead end, you can't get past it, and you find something, there's nothing wrong with saying, I tried. I gave it my best. I'm not able to overcome this. I promise you, that's your truth. All Hashem wants is honesty. Be honest with yourself. Don't be dishonest. Use your honesty as your torch to walk through that cave, to find things. You may reach places in the cave you can't break through, but at least you'll know they're there. And that's what Hashem wants from you. Gemara Chasima Tova to everyone. Get some sleep today. See you tonight. Okay?